got to admit, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the routine for yours truly has been thrown out of whack so much. Just thinking about what I did today, not being able to escape the apartment, doing a boxing class on the screen, you know, the idea of like getting ready at around 12:30, 12:40, usually from a mental standpoint, I'm preparing, all right, I got to get my stuff together, I got to make sure I'm out the door, I get into the studios, I BS with some people, yada, 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 and then I come on and away we go and we have some fun for 4 hours or so. So the idea of being here in my apartment in Brooklyn, New York, and I know it's the second day, it still feels weird. I got to be honest. It feels weird on so many different fronts. Now, when we get back to normal, which may be months from now, but at some point I may need to finagle one of these machines. I may have to do whatever it takes to buy one of these machines. That way on the weekends when I'm doing the morning line, I don't got to roll out of bed and come in and do the show. That would make my life, I can tell you this, a heck of a lot easier. But I hope everybody's having as good a Wednesday and Thursday as you could possibly have here. And we should be getting ready for the start of this year's NCAA tournament. And it's very cruel in so many different ways. And listen, this obviously pales in comparison to everything that is going on right now. Our city basically being in lockdown. So many of you working from home, not a part of your normal routine, praying for all the restaurants, the bars, the small businesses, our medical people, all that stuff combined into one. But next week at this time, I can guarantee you, we are going to be going through some memories that I have of the NCAA tournament from certain dates, because we can't relive a tournament that's not going to happen here in 2020. What we can do is think about old tournaments that are near and dear to our heart. A moment like, for example, Carmelo Anthony, Jerry McNamara, and Akeem Warwick cutting down the nets. I don't know, that one means a whole lot to me. Or you think about the Gordon Hayward shot that almost won a national championship in 2010. I remember that one very, very well. Watching that at Tully's Good Times in Syracuse, New York, as one of the most mediocre Duke teams that I can ever remember went out and won a national title. Of course, you had those UConn miracle runs, one with Kemba Walker all the way to a title, the other with Shabazz Napier and Boatwright all the way to a title. So next week at this time, when I am like going through what happened on March 21st and what happened on March 23rd, and I pull up an old college game that kind of gives me a little bit of nostalgia, it ain't going to replace what we should have going on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's only going to make the 2021 NCAA that much sweeter. So I know there are a whole lot of college basketball fans right now almost in denial. And it's really going to hit home for me when I roll out of bed at around, I don't know, 1:30, 2 o'clock. For what it's worth, I feel like now with the new reality that we live in, I don't want to get out of bed. I mean, I got to be honest with you, folks. I don't want to get out of bed because normally my routine would be get up, go to Starbucks, go to SNY, do this, do that. Now I'm wearing out the Nespresso machine. I'm drinking some tea right now as we speak. Not caffeinated, of course. But it's one of those instances where what you are used to doing gets thrown completely out of whack, completely off sync. And it's this idea of how you, this extended WFAN family, all of us try to adjust to what's going to happen over the next weeks, months, what have you. So on a much lighter note, and I wanted to get that off my chest because the routine and no college basketball, I've got to admit, it's making me a little crazy. But we do have a new reality that I think is far more pleasant. It's far more pleasant to me. It's far more pleasant from a lot of you. And that, of course, is the idea of Tom Brady wearing a different uniform. And forget about the idea of Tom Brady being a Buccaneers. We know it. It's been in the news now for the last 24 to 48 hours. No shock. After you get over the initial wave of Brady throwing you all out of whack and all out of sync with the Instagram post. But The images that we have seen over these last, I don't know, 24, 36, 48 hours of Tom Brady superimposed in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform. I still got to admit, it's rather strange. Tom Brady wearing a Buccaneers jersey, he's definitely going to take some time to get used to. And I figured today would be kind of fun in a way to think about guys who are iconic athletes, memorable athletes, guys who will be in that conversation of Hall of Famers, iconic players, face of franchise type guys playing in one uniform for a period of time, and then the idea of going and wearing a different uniform and which ones felt weirder than others. And off the top of my head, the two names that I could give you that it never felt right, it never looked right, it never quite made sense: Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing. Michael Jordan wearing a Washington Wizards jersey. I see it now, and Kevin Durant actually posted on his Instagram a few days ago highlights of Jordan playing for the Wizards, and it's like a blur. It is a blur in so many different ways. It's like he's wearing a Washington Wizards jersey. The guy who won 6 NBA titles, the guy who, for my money, is the greatest NBA player that I've ever seen in my life, is wearing a Washington Wizards jersey. Yeah, that was weird. Locally, there's one that compares for me. And I know for many of you, you could talk about Tom Seaver wearing different jerseys and how that threw you out of whack. You could talk about Joe Namath wearing a Rams jersey only for a couple of games before his career was cut short. But for me, the New York athlete wearing that different thread was like, holy blank, what are we doing here? That would be none other than Patrick Ewing. And I'll never forget when Scott Layden and the New York Knicks made that very ill-advised trade, shipping Ewing off, getting Glenn Rice, getting Travis Knight, bringing in Howard Eisley, Shandon Anderson. They brought in so many different guys for Patrick Ewing. They took on so many terrible, terrible contracts. But I remember Patrick Ewing's first game back at Madison Square Garden wearing a Seattle Supersonics jersey. In fact, it's so weird, I'd actually like to get my hands on one of those Seattle Supersonics jerseys. If you can find me a Patrick Ewing Supersonics jersey, send me the link on Twitter because I'm going to order it. I feel like it'd be a nice nostalgic piece to have. Maybe I'll rock it on the beach down the Jersey Shore at some point this summer. That would be nice. That would be some novel idea. But I remember Ewing coming back, getting the standing ovation, getting the appreciation from the Knicks fan that, quite frankly, he should have gotten his entire career. And I know the frustrations, the failed promises, the failed guarantees, the finger roll miss against the Indiana Pacers. But, I mean, now you look. Oh, my goodness. You dream to have a run like the Patrick Ewing-led New York Knickerbockers. Oh, you take that, you run, you dance, you sing. That has been missing in April, May, and June for a long, long time. But when he came back and put on that Sonics jersey, it was jarring. Very, very jarring. Now, there are some instances of guys going to other teams, and you really don't miss a beat. Peyton Manning was one of those guys. I thought Peyton Manning leaving the Indianapolis Colts would be impossible to envision. I mean, after all, Peyton Manning is this iconic quarterback in the league. He goes and he puts on a Denver Broncos jersey, and I think for many of us now, we don't really distinguish that much between Peyton's Bronco career and his Colt career. Obviously, more longevity with the Colts. He's going to be remembered for being a Colt. But he won an MVP with the Broncos. He won a Super Bowl with the Broncos. He went to two Super Bowls with the Broncos. So he had about, what, 12, 13, 14, 15, 4 years in that Bronco uniform where he played a whole lot of January football. He had a whole lot of success. So forever remembered as a Colt, yes. But memories that are going to be etched in our forever lens of watching the NFL. More Brady Manning showdowns, Super Bowl appearances, and yeah, a Super Bowl in which he was carried by a top-notch defense led by Von Miller. So I don't look at Peyton Manning as one of those guys where it's like, wow, it was weird seeing him in a Broncos jersey. It was weird seeing Patrick Ewing wear a Supersonics jersey. That's the weirdest one for me, for a player that I root for. Jordan, I think, for all of us, is that guy we can all relate to. He's Michael Jordan. He's Michael Jordan of the Chicago Bulls. How in the world is he not wearing a Chicago Bulls or a North Carolina jersey, for that matter? I'll give you another one. The Dallas Cowboy fan, I'm sure, couldn't believe to see Emmitt Smith rocking an Arizona Cardinals jersey. Well, I think back to Thurman Thomas. Remember when Thurman Thomas went to the Miami Dolphins for a year? That was one of those, even as a Dolphin fan, it didn't feel quite right. Now, you can mention Joe Montana, too. But remember this with Montana. Yeah, he's a Niner through and through. But he went to Kansas City and had success. I think the idea of the player having success and delivering in that next uniform kind of makes the overall feel and the overall vision of what we feel as sports fans very, very different. The reason we don't have this, like, oh my God type look when it comes to Peyton Manning in a Broncos jersey is because he won and delivered as a Bronco. Patrick Ewing's career with the Supersonics and with the Orlando Magic went down the tubes. Michael Jordan, as great as he was, went to the Washington Wizards, never played in a playoff game. Never did anything of substance in Washington. Namath, same deal. That's why for Tom Brady, this notion now that he is about to put on new threads and he's about to embark on this new chapter in his life, this new chapter in his career, and what our perception is going to be down the line, he goes and he wins for 2 years in Tampa Bay. He goes to the playoffs a couple times. Maybe has a run where they're going into an NFC title game or something. It'll be along the lines of what Montana did with the Kansas City Chiefs. Weird, but not jarring. The jarring memories of iconic players in an individual uniform. It starts by a guy doing a whole lot of nothing. Bottom line, you're not winning. You're not producing. Tom Brady goes 6-10 over the next 2 years. Then that image you have of the great Super Bowl champion in New England will also be remembered as a guy who, guess what? Embarrassed himself in Tampa. Nobody looks at Joe Montana going to Kansas City Chiefs and said, wow, what was he doing? Why'd he even bother? Because you know what? He had success. Tom Brady wearing that Bucs jersey. How jarring is that going to be? I think it depends on what he accomplishes. I think it's really as simple as that. So I ask you, the most bizarre, iconic athlete to go and wear a different uniform. For me, I'm giving you two. It's Michael Jordan with the Washington Wizards, and I know a lot of Knicks fans can relate. Patrick Ewing wearing a Seattle Supersonics jersey. I don't think I'll ever get over the side of that.